In the 1990s, Olympia, Washington, home of Evergreen College, became the birthplace of a musical movement of young women who changed the sound and image of women in rock, called Riot Girls. They played guitars and drums, sang fiercely, and never dressed to fulfill a man's image of what sexy is. Out of the scene came the band Slater Kinney. The band now features Corin Tucker, lead vocals and guitar, Carrie Brownstein, lead guitar and vocals, and Janice Weiss, drums. Here's how the band was described in the New Yorker magazine. Quote, "It's insulting to call Slater Kinney the best female rock band in the world when they're one of the best rock bands, period. Still, this power trio is unmistakably a girl group thanks to Corin Tucker's piercing, ululating vocals and a preoccupation with gender injustice, both personal and political." Unquote. They've just released their seventh album, The Woods, and they'll be opening for Pearl Jam on their tour this fall. Before we hear from Corin Tucker and Carrie Brownstein, let's hear the lead track of their new album. This is The Fox. That's Slater Kinney from their new CD, The Woods. We heard the opening track, which is called The Fox. Corin Tucker, Carrie Brownstein, welcome to Fresh Air. Corin, one thing I find interesting about the new album is that, you know, everything is so kind of loud and aggressive on it. And you're at a time in your life where you've recently become a mother, and people might assume that after becoming a mother, things would, you know, your music would kind of quiet down, become more tame. You'd be thinking about lullabies to sing to your son, and that would influence the direction you wanted the band to head in, but that is clearly not what's happened.
Not with this record at all. I did write a song for my son. It's called Lions and Tigers, and it's exactly what you're describing. It's a really sweet lullaby. But I think that with this record, we all had this other need to kind of take away these roles that we play in other parts of our lives. I don't know. I think as a mom, I sometimes play the role of saying that everything's okay, and you know, being happy and you know, saying like, "Don't worry about what's on the front page of the newspaper. Everything's all right," you know, and I definitely needed another place to sort of let my guard down and let out all these other darker feelings that I have about what's been going on in our country and culturally as well. And so there's this other, you know, place that's just all about rage that I think has come out on this record.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Slater Kinney has always been you both, two guitarists and singers, and a drummer. The drummer has changed over the years. But how did you arrive at that combination? You know, two women who sing and play guitar and one drummer.
I think a lot of things at the beginning were quite unintentional and kind of existed because there were no other options. I mean, both Corin and I played guitar. Neither of us were interested in playing bass or having one of us give up guitar to play bass. And I mean, Corin had been in a band with just a guitarist and a drummer, and I had been in a band with two guitarists and a drummer, similar to Slater Kinney. So I think for some reason, Corin going from two to four would just be too big of a change for her. And I was already used to that dynamic. So I think, you know, that was already the kind of musical sphere that we were operating in and felt comfortable in. So Yeah, I think that we just continued, and despite it starting unintentionally, it forced us later, as we started thinking about the musical language between the two of us and thinking about the dynamics of the song, we realized it was actually forcing us to be more creative in our songwriting, and we weren't really able to listen to other bands and emulate what they were doing. We were really forced to forge our own style of chord playing, of intertwining guitars, of, you know, melody, counter melody, and I think it ended up working to our advantage, but it was slightly accidental to begin with.
Let me ask you about a guitar thing. There's a certain, like, Guitar Hero style of playing on stage, usually by a guy with a lot of, you know, really big gestures and jumping around and and interplay with the bass player and everything. So I've never had the pleasure of actually seeing you perform on stage, but you know, when you're doing something really interesting and loud on the guitar, what's your body language like? Like what are you doing performance wise?
I guess it depends on the song. I mean, there are moments where I'm jumping around. I mean,
Carrie can't stand still.
Yeah, I'm in my head.
She's amazing on stage. She is like, I'll look over and she's like leaping through the air.
Yeah, playing music is so freeing for me. I'm stuck in my head so much of the time and kind of overly analytical and in so many ways that the music is the escape and it is the moment to connect with people on a visceral level and on a level that's outside of the constraints of the everyday discourse that we get bogged down in. So to me, just being able to move around on stage or to jump or to, you know, just feel the music going from, you know, my fingertips like through my heart, then out the other side is really exhilarating. So I try to make the most of it. I feel like, you know, like Korn said, I kind of can't stand still. And I try to, I guess, just take advantage of that feeling of freedom.
So do you feel like you're more inhibited off stage than you are on stage?
Yes, people are often surprised after hanging out with me or meeting me that to see me on stage. And I always get you're so much shorter off stage as well, which drives me crazy. But I think that there is something about confidence and just, you know, somebody that is letting go of certain, you know, restraints on stage, that they do seem larger, taller, that somehow they're extending outwards and upwards in ways that, you know, when you're just talking to someone off stage, you know, you just don't get that. So, yeah, I do get a lot of people being a little bit surprised.
Well, Carrie, why don't we hear a very uninhibited guitar solo from the new Slater Kinney CD, and this is a guitar solo on the track "What's Mine Is Yours." Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing on this?
Well, to me, this song is in some ways a microcosm of the larger picture of the record, wherein we wanted to attempt something where we were both building things up and destroying them at the same time and trying to find beauty and grace in both those processes. And the song starts out fairly typical with a verse and a chorus that you can latch onto quite immediately. And then the song breaks apart and is sort of destroyed right there in the middle and goes into just guitar. And it's... It was completely improvised. I knew that we were going to stop, and I knew that I had to essentially play by myself for about 45 seconds, which I've never done before. It was the last song to be written for the record, and we hadn't rehearsed it very much. So I guess in this moment, it's just me feeling my way through the song and feeling my way through a moment of uncertainty. And a lot of this record thematically is about that very thing. So I guess it's trying to find a place of comfort or even just knowing that it's okay to not have all the answers. And then Korn comes in and saves me with a really fuzzed out guitar part. So it's just basically me and a guitar and a little bit of backwards delay.
Okay, so here's an excerpt of "What's Mine Is Yours" from the new Slater Kinney record, The Woods. That's an excerpt from What's Mine Is Yours from the new Slater-Kinney record, The Woods. And with me from Slater-Kinney is singer and guitarist Corin Tucker and singer and guitarist Carrie Brownstein. Did you consider yourself part of the Riot Girl movement?
Oh, Corin.
Is that an annoying question?
I heard you groan. I'm sorry.
I was definitely a part of Riot Girl when it happened, way back in the early 90s. But that all kind of took place and came and went really before Slater-Kinney started.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that our presentation probably carries over a lot of feminist notions about, you know, wanting to be seen as multidimensional humans and as musicians first and foremost, and you know, and not wanting to be sort of seen as these objectified ladies. You know, that probably is something that that I, you know, was a part of in Riot Girl, and that carried over into the music that we made in Slater-Kinney.
Now, I understand that there was a period during the evolution of Slater-Kinney that the band basically went into therapy. What was the problem, and what kind of therapist did you go to?
I think the problem is a problem that exists to this day, which is it's tumultuous to have three people in a band, and there's always an imbalance, or often an imbalance of two versus one, and that dynamic is always shifting, and there's always one person that's, you know, being singled out because, you know, they're pulling away or because, you know, for some other reason. And at the time, that's basically what was going on. And it was, I just was really disinterested in being in the band and, you know, really kind of resenting all the things that were going on and that things we had to do. And it was just a really hard time. There was also a lot of pressure after we had made Dig Me Out, which was the first album that garnered us a lot of attention. And there was so much, we felt so much pressure. It was the first time that we felt like there was an externally defined Slater-Kinney, except, you know, in addition to just the way that we thought of ourselves. And so much about being in a band is analogous to a relationship. And for us, I think for all of us, it's the longest relationship we've ever been in. So we decided to see a therapist. And Corin and Janet were living in Portland, Oregon, but I was still up in Olympia, and we went to a therapist up there. And I think we actually went to two therapists. And I think they were a little bit out of their league, but they handled the three of us basically the same way they would handle a couple, except we were a six-legged couple. and basically we just set up some ground rules and just kind of worked on opening the lines of communication. And I mean, it's very un-rock and roll, but I honestly think so many other bands would have stayed together if they just had aired some of their grievances. And it was nice to have an objective opinion and listener. We just went a couple times. It's very surreal, but it really did help us out.
So does having a baby in the band change any of the band's ability to go on the road?
It's definitely changed things, and we don't tour as long or as often as we used to and when we first started the band. But we are going to have a tour bus on our tour this summer. So my son Marshall is going to come, and he's four, and so he's totally ready for the tour bus, and he's packed his toys, and you know, he's completely ready to get in his bunk. So it should be really fun.
Corin, of all the music that you really love, what does your four-year-old enjoy too?
He loves Green Day, and he in fact tells me every day that he's in that band. he also just heard REM on the radio and loves their song "It's the End of the World as We Know It" and wants to hear it every day.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Corin Tucker and Carrie Brownstein of the band Slater-Kinney. Their latest CD is called The Woods. You can hear a track from it on our website at freshair.npr.org.